Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the podcast, Bustle's podcast for radical body positivity, fat acceptance, and visibility for all. I'm Marie Southard Ospina, and I'm here with Sarah Chuaya of Curvely. She's a fashion blogger and body positive proponent who is also an associate fashion editor at Plus Model Magazine, in addition to working at Gwynedy. And today we're going to be talking about all things plus size style, particularly plus size fashion rule breaking, as well as her hashtag plus size please, which you'll hear all about later. Thanks so much for joining me today, Sarah.
Thanks for having me. I'm really excited for this.
Yes, me too. Is there anything you'd like to add about your work for listeners who might not be super familiar?
Well, basically, my style philosophy is that fashion is all about self-expression. And so what I do through fashion is just, through my blogging, is just helping people get there and helping people express themselves in the most authentic way and not be limited by social constraints as to what you should and should not wear. And just helping people kind of branch out and experiment, because that's what's been the joy of fashion for me, and I want to share that with others.
That's rad. And I mean, for plus size people in particular, there's so many of those constraints we're told to abide to.
Definitely.
A lot of material to work with.
I feel like for a lot of people, you have to kind of like go and break down very consciously these rules that you've heard all your life. I mean, if you think about it, I grew up watching shows like What Not to Wear and How Do I Look and stuff like that, and they're still good entertainment.
Makeover.
Yeah. I never watched that.
I didn't watch it either, but I remember it.
No, I know. There was the Swan, the really horrible one with the plastic surgery. There was a lot of that, and that was, you know, very popular. Right. But especially the fashion ones, it was like, you need to wear this because this is the best for your body type. And I also very much pushed back against that whole idea of best for your body type. There's a lot of it. So
we need more people pushing against that. So when and how did you get involved in plus size blogging and all this stuff, retail, curve retail?
I'm a lawyer, and I was working at a big firm, and I've always loved fashion, but it wasn't something that I really considered a possibility for me as a career. And part of that was I did not fit in fashion, literally or figuratively. I felt like I didn't have a place, and the designers I love, the clothes I love the most, don't fit my body, or they didn't fit my body at that point. I actually found out about this company called Gwynedy, which I work there now. Clothing subscription service. We kind of joke it's like Netflix for clothing. But like the old
when
Netflix, I first found out about it,
DVDs
it was through my wedding photographer's website. She photographed a blogger called The Curvy Blogger. She had a post about Gwynedy, and I looked at that and I was like, what is this? It's like a clothing rental service. It sounds too good to be true. So I researched the crap out of it. I was getting married at that time. And so I had to wait till I got back from the wedding. And I got back from the wedding and back from the honeymoon, paid off the last bill, and joined Gwynedy immediately. And I was really excited for that. I was like, I'm going to get new clothes. I'm going to get a haircut, cut this long hair off, dye it blonde. This is going to be great. I grew my hair out for the wedding. And I was ready for a change. And I started participating on their Facebook page, and people would post pictures of themselves in the different outfits. And it was a very supportive and great kind of community feel that I found online. And everyone's like, you look great, or have you tried this? And it was this very supportive community. So, and there, through that, I found body positive bloggers and fashion bloggers and plus size bloggers and like all this group of people who were just like really working together and talking about fashion. And I kind of, for the first time, saw myself possibly being part of this just for the inspiration. Like at first I was just going to do it as like kind of a fashion inspiration thing.
Styling tips
and stuff. I was looking at it as the fashion aspect of it. So this is right after I got married. And when I first got my pictures back, I looked at the pictures and I was like, these are beautiful pictures because they were beautiful. Everyone looks so happy, but I look fat. And that was my first thought. I was like, but I have a double chin in this picture from smiling so hard. Mm-hmm. Or my arms pressed up against myself and it's squished and it looks fat and big. And I should have lost more weight. I should have done. And I was sitting there tearing myself apart.
And there's so much media surrounding losing weight for your wedding,
yes,
getting the perfect body for your wedding.
Fast forward like 4 months. I've been posting pictures for a while. I've discovered body positivity like Tumblr, which was great for me. And this is all like through the page. I found these bloggers and found that they were on Tumblr, and I started posting pictures on Tumblr. And I started following all these people, and I kind of changed my media intake. And what I was looking at wasn't fashion magazines. It was all these blogs, and different
an alternative narrative.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And then I looked at, I still hadn't edited my wedding pictures, and I still haven't 3 years later. but I was looking at them. I went back to look at them to try to pull pictures for an album. And I was like, I look great. I look beautiful. I look radiant and happy. And I look amazing. Like it was that shift. I knew what it was. And that was kind of my light bulb moment. And so I decided to start a blog. So hopefully to help other people get there too. And I've been able to, which is awesome.
That's rad. Yeah. How long have you had it now?
So I started my Tumblr like about 3 years ago, and my actual website, so a bit over 2 years now, before I discovered body positivity and everything. But another reason I didn't want to, I was kind of scared of the idea of gaining weight or even staying the same weight I was, because I didn't want to not be able to find the clothes I wanted. And plus was seen as this really negative kind of clothing wasteland, and
something I didn't to be ashamed
yeah
of.
And something to be ashamed of. I would put in a corner of a store
very literally.
Exactly. I would have never wanted to carry Elaine Bryant back at that point, frankly, like I was ashamed of the idea of being plus. We've seen a lot of push for more fashion forward brands, and so there's cool brands like Universal Standard now that didn't exist before.
For sure. And there's so many indie brands as well, you know, Ready to Stare, Chubby Cartwheels, really alternative stuff that you never would have seen in plus 5 years ago,
that we were told was not for us. Very, very specifically. Especially, I think it's kind of fun sometimes to see the reactions that people have to some of these really indie brands that really push the envelope. Mm-hmm. Because some people who are a little bit more close-minded, or a lot more close-minded, get really angry.
They really do. It offends them. It genuinely offends them.
How dare women wear things like this, especially if there's any VBO, visible belly outline. Yeah. That's when people really, they lose their crap.
I think it comes from people are taught to believe that they need to always be actively working towards changing their bodies, women especially. And I think it almost ticks people off when they see a fat person who might not be spending 15 hours at a gym trying to change their body, and here they are in a two-piece bikini and in a bodycon dress that shows off their VBO, and what am I doing with my life that I can't do that.
No, I completely agree. That's actually something I've thought about a lot. I've had people who get angry at me for wearing a bikini, mm-hmm. or daring to do that. And I do think it's because a lot of people have kind of paid into this current system that is controlling their that narrative is what's determining their life choices. I don't think people who really care about being healthy, and the people who love working out, they're not the ones that get mad at people who are not working out or who are working out and are still bigger. They're not the ones lashing out. It's the people who hate going to the gym, who feel it as like a penance they must do to live as a woman, especially mm-hmm. women. And they see someone else who's being fat and happy, which, you know, I am. And I don't go to the gym. I actually move more than the average person, but I'm not doing it in these pre-constrained ways. And even if I didn't, it doesn't matter. Yeah. I think the thing for a lot of people is seeing that they're like, wait, they're cheating. Some people just say, oh, just love yourself at any size if it's just that easy. It's not.
It's not a button.
Yeah. And it takes a lot of, I think for a lot of people to understand, it takes a lot of mental work. It takes a lot of like conscious effort to reframe how you think and to hear yourself thinking these negative things or thinking, I couldn't wear that. That's one of the things for me I get a lot. They're like, oh, you look great in that. I can never wear that. And I'm like, yes, you can.
Yes.
Here's how. And so that's part of what I do as a blogger. And that's what I really want. That's one of my big missions, is helping people realize that, yes, you can wear that. You can wear literally anything you want. And you can do it in a way that's going to make you comfortable and happy. I personally think plus size is not a problem as a phrase. I am all for the phrase plus size. It brought me to this awesome community of people. It has been the catalyst that has made this movement happen.
Yes, definitely.
We haven't organized around an abstract term. We've organized around plus size, which is, you know, it was an industry term and now it's become a movement. Mm-hmm. And I think to kind of like turn your back on that move on that name now because you think it's associated with negative things, you're just contributing to the stigma that is keeping it negative. I think there is a problem, but the problem isn't with the term. It's with the stigma surrounding it.
Yeah, definitely. We actually have a segment on the podcast called Words Matter, where we dissect terms like this, plus size, curvy, fat, anything that's really loaded and divisive and creates all these debates. So I'd kind of love to talk about plus size a little more, because I feel like it keeps coming up, no matter how many bloggers and actual fat people say, I'm empowered by this, there's a community around this. It just keeps coming up. And I think to reject this idea that there's a whole community and there's a whole support network and there's a movement and there's activism and there's all these people utilizing the term for positive, empowering motives, I just think that's a disservice to all the people who've reclaimed it.
Completely. and the thing is, it's not, you know, we're in the grand scheme of things, we're newer bloggers. We've been doing it for a few years now.
Yeah.
And the great thing is every day there's more and more plus size bloggers coming out. And I love seeing that. But there are women who have been in this realm for a long time. And even like Gabby was, you know, one of the four founders of plus fashion as we know it now. And there's people even before that, even before my time, I live journal, and I've learned a little bit about that. I didn't experience that personally, but there's a lot of groundwork that's been set, and there's been activism even before the internet happening on this.
Yeah,
you know, there's so much
time. I mean, Marilyn Wann of Fatso was doing it in the 90s, and
yeah,
people were sitting in Central Park in the 60s doing fat-ins. Like, it's been around for a while.
Yeah, and so there's all this groundwork that's been laid, and the point that where we are now is there because of all of this, and to climb that ladder and knock it over it definitely bothers me. So I am all for plus as a positive thing. If I think you can identify however you want to identify.
Oh yeah. However,
and I
you
think
feel most comfortable.
I think some people, like when I started blogging, I identified as curvy, and part of that was frankly my discomfort with being associated with plus at the time. I wanted to be part of the body positivity, but I didn't know, I wasn't there yet. And I think but then eventually when I got more comfortable, now I tag my photos with fatchin, and it's great because I found, like I said, this great community of people on Tumblr, on Instagram and everything. But it's also great because when trolls come at me and tell me that I'm disgusting and fat, or you know, literally I've been in really intense social justice conversations on Twitter, and somebody will come out like, you're fat. I'm like, thanks. I tag my photos fatchin. Try again. That, you know, and by kind of taking that term and making it a source of empowerment, that's been great for me. And I think that's something that the same thing can and has happened with plus. I think a lot of people aren't there yet. And I think a lot of people, when they're approaching the conversation, they're coming at it and kind of what I kind of refer to as like body positivity 101. They see these kind of rudimentary messages of all bodies are beautiful. Mm-hmm. Curves are great. You know, these things are
real women have curves.
Yeah, real women have curves, which is
a whole heap of problems.
That's not even quite 101. That,
no,
that's
I don't even know what that is.
Remedial.
That's just
misguided, I mean, really. Yeah, no, definitely. And I think, I mean, frankly, some people are coming to body positivity with Meghan Trainor as their background and things like that. Meghan Trainor, in my mind, not body positive, but for some people, that was the first moment where they realized that curves could be great. There have been some big, really popular advertising campaigns that were received not well from people who were like really deep into the activist community, but were for other women the first moment they ever saw a body like theirs on a billboard or on a bus or on, you know, or on an ad or a subway. And they so angered some, you know, congressman in New York. But I think even if something's not necessarily of value to you, I think it's or to people, to plus women as a community, especially the people who are more well versed in it, who are in the kind of what I refer to as the grad level courses of body positivity. I think there's still a lot of value in some of these things that can bring you in. I think it's important to keep critiquing what's the problems with these campaigns, yes, with these songs, with these messages, because that helps people get past that 101 level and start to really delve into it. But I don't want to outright reject things that are helping people kind of get to that point in the first place.
Yeah, it's something that I struggle with, is finding the balance between celebrating the progress made, the steps taken, the campaigns that maybe don't feature size 22 women but feature a whole lot of size 14 women. celebrating the smaller stuff, but still being critical of what's left to do and how things could be better. It's a hard balance to strike. And as someone more immersed in the activist side of the dialogue, I get why people get mad. Yeah. I understand the frustration of still not seeing people who really represent fat bodies in ads. I get that, and I want that too. But I just feel like progress has never happened overnight.
Yeah.
I mean, when has it happened overnight? We look at gay rights. Gay marriage was legalized in America last year, and
2015.
Crazy. And states still have the right to make laws banning trans people from using the bathroom of their actual gender. You know, this is still going on. It's ongoing. Human beings are slow at progressing forward.
Yeah.
They really are.
I sometimes worry that we're falling backwards a little bit, but even lately this election. But
yes, this election.
But that's a whole other rabbit hole I don't want to descend down. I think one of the things that we really need to do, kind of work on, is really expressing and support for the designers that are showing more body diversity. Because when people say we want to see this, brands definitely listen. But when they express it with actual support, and clothing is a business, you know, they yes. want monetary support. That's when we'll get more movement on this. And I think that's been happening because customers are coming around to this. The plus size consumer, I think, has been more. There's a lot more savviness as a customer that my money matters and like my support matters. We're a huge market, like we billions of dollars waiting to be made for companies who treat plus size consumers with respect and give them cool, on trend, interesting fashion. That is, there's so much money to be made there.
And there's proof that it works.
Yeah.
I mean, I always think of ModCloth as one of the best examples. When ModCloth launched Plus, their sales like tripled or quadrupled. It was something huge.
Yes.
You know, as soon as they expanded their size range. I don't know how many people would know of ASOS if so many curve bloggers and plus size bloggers didn't start shouting them out 5 years ago for their ASOS curve line. Like, there's a lot of money to be made.
There's tons. It's a billion-dollar market, billions and billions of dollars of market. 67%, I think, is the latest statistic of women in America are size 14 and up. There are new studies that are suggesting that's higher if you drop the threshold down to like 10, which is where a lot of brands cut off and don't have clothes above that. That's like closer to 75%. This is the vast majority.
Three quarters of the humans.
It is the vast majority of this market. And why would you turn your back on that? Some stores kind of try to do it, but they do it in a half-hearted way. And then they throw up their hands at the end and say, oh, well, we tried and it didn't work out. Like, there's one store.
Because they tried with like 3 A-line black dresses.
Yeah, in the literal dark back corner of a store. And with no advertising, no promotion, most people don't even know it exists. And then when it doesn't work out, when these sad pieces aren't selling, then it's because plus women aren't buying, and that's not it. There's actually a store in Manhattan that's a chain that I, you know, go into frequently. And I asked the other day, and I was like, hey, where's the plus section now? Because they move it all the time and they never move it any place better. But I just figured, you know, they've moved it someplace. I can't find it. It's behind the jeans again. And they're like, oh, no, it's not in the store anymore. And I was like, what? Well, is it in the other store down the street? And they're like, no, it's not in any of the stores in Manhattan.
Great.
It's just like, huh. There's so few places where you can actually go into the store and shop. I try to kind of highlight them on my social media, and I do a lot of like in the fitting rooms to tell people, like, see how things fit. But even in this shopping capital, fashion capital of the world, there's still not enough.
Horrible.
Yeah.
No, I got married very last minute last year.
Oh, well, congratulations.
Thank you. It was pretty rushed. And that meant I had to get a dress, a plus size wedding dress, in the span of like 48 hours. So I couldn't really do overnight shipping. And I had to shop IRL. And it was a horrid, horrid nightmare.
I like, can't imagine.
To get a size 18-20 dress in Manhattan is almost impossible. You know, we went everywhere. And eventually I ended up with something that was decent. Like, you know, it was fine. But it wasn't me. It was, and it took all day, you know, of just up and down, all over the place.
Yeah.
It's horrible. Even, you know, there are some places, Forever 21 does stock plus sizes in a lot of its stores, which is great, but the variety online is always a lot better.
A lot better.
Even at the places like Forever 21 that do in stores, they have millions more things on the internet.
Yeah, definitely. And it's so important to be able to try things on, too, like just to see how it fits, because the variations in how things fit or in the variations in body types, that's bigger as the measurements go up. And so something, even if we're both a size 18, it's going to be something could fit very different on the two of us. So
definitely,
you know, it's just one of those things where to be able to actually try things on and experience it and see how it fits and how it lays and how when you walk, if does it ride up or is my butt going to show when I walk up the stairs on the subway, you know, stuff like that. You can't tell that from...
And just the process of shopping. You know, it's something you can do with friends. It's something you should be able to do.
Like, yeah.
I want to decide to go buy a bikini on a whim after work one day, but I can't because there's nowhere that will stock my size.
No, definitely. And especially if you're looking for something specific, like the wedding dresses, I think is probably like the worst example. I'm sorry you had to deal with that. I had a hard enough time with traditional wedding dress shopping, and I can't imagine trying to do last minute wedding dress shopping. No, but
I mean, I didn't want, like, it probably helped me that I didn't want a classic white gown. Yeah. I wanted something a little more casual. But even that, it was just, you know, trial and error for maybe 25 stores. So speaking of Forever 21, are there any favorite brands you want to shout out that listeners can go take a peek at for plus fashion?
Yeah, I have a bunch. One really cool brand that's new is Universal Standard, and they do like kind of fun, minimal, really well made stuff. There is, if you're in New York, there are some great showrooms that you can stop into. Hey Gorgeous is an online boutique, and they have it online as well. But if you're in New York, you can actually come in and try things on. And it's a really nice experience with like great customer service and cool selections. I love that. And Rue 107 is another one that's really close to them. So if you're in New York, you can, like, they're around the corner from each other.
Oh, I didn't realize Rue had an IRL.
Yeah, they have a showroom. Yeah, I think you have to call ahead. But okay. I had that's a friend in town, and she dropped in on short
and
notice.
And that's an awesome one because they tend to cover, like, XXS to 5X
often. Yeah. Yeah, so they have a really good range, and so it's one that you could go shopping with your friends, which is really unfortunately good. Too rare.
Too rare.
Forever 21 can be good. The shopping experiences can be dicey depending on which store you go to, but I do find some good stuff there sometimes. For online, ASOS is another one that
ASOS
I
is great.
Love.
And the returns are so easy at ASOS. It's like free shipping back. It's already pre-done for you.
No. Gwynny B is actually even easier, which I work there now, but I've been a member for God almost 4 years now, so my love for them predates any working connection, but they're really good for trying new things and like branching out past what you've previously done, and that was actually a big part of the beginning of my fashion journey was like trying stuff I previously didn't think I could wear, which is now all what my blog is all about. So,
God. Yeah, I mean I really am a fan of the indies. I think they're doing a lot more in terms of bolder fashion. I always think of Ready to Stare. Elise D'Alessandro is amazing. She does really, really rule-breaking stuff.
The cupcake dress.
Which
I loved.
Caused the biggest controversy.
Yeah, I loved it, though. And it was so funny because I think that's a prime example of people thinking that you need to stay within these narrow constraints in order to be fashionable, because that's something that would not have caused any controversy had it come down to straight size one runway. But a fat woman daring to not appear as small as possible, that really bends the people out of shape.
In case you guys have not seen this dress, it's called a cupcake dress because it's very cupcakey. It's, you know, it's you can be worn strapless and then it kind of flows out.
Like
the shape of a cupcake.
The Rihanna,
the
big
Rihanna cupcake
pink
dress.
Rihanna
yeah, from
cupcake
an
dress.
Award show.
Yeah, it's like that, but.
So it doesn't make you look smaller.
Yeah.
You know, you will take up space in it, and this is obviously not okay for women, and especially for fat women.
I know, and I think that taking up space point is one that I think sometimes people kind of treat fashion as this, you know, lesser thing or not as intellectual, but for me, fashion is also very much about feminism, and the kind of rule breaking stuff that I do as a blogger is about it's about taking up space, and it's about be like, hey, I don't need to minimize myself for you. Fashion, and this is one of my kind of taglines, fashion is not about minimizing yourself, it's about expressing yourself. A lot of the roles that we hear are about making yourself look as small and skinny as possible, and that's really tied up in these ideas that women should be not taking up space literally, physically, mm-hmm. you know, mentally or in society. In exactly. Really. And so to be able to have fashion that is kind of out there and even literally or figuratively taking up space, drawing the eye, these bold patterns and prints and stuff like that, I think that empowering women to wear that and to express themselves with that, if that's what they is what truly expresses their own, you know, sense of style, I think that's amazing. I think that's really pushing feminism, you know, like yeah. It's part and parcel. And absolutely. So I'm all about it.
The brands that I gravitate most towards are the ones breaking all these rules.
Yeah.
For plus size women, no horizontal stripes, only A-line silhouettes, no bright colors, no mini skirts, no short shorts, no low rise jeans, no loud crop tops. Definitely no crop tops.
Yeah, I did. I actually did a hashtag response to that too, pulling off a crop top, and it was great because a whole bunch of people joined in. And yeah, that made me so angry. I love a crop top. I think crop tops are fantastic.
Adore a crop top. And you know, they're very trendy. They can be worn with anything.
Yeah, and
they're
you can wear it in a way that makes you comfortable, no matter what your style. Like even if you're not comfortable showing skin, you can wear crop tops with high waisted things. If you know, there's ways to make it work. Whether you want to do a professional chic look, or if you want to do something that is, you know, really bold, or if you want festival fashion, or if you want, you know, boho, there's a crop top for every look and every style. And yep. So to try to categorically say plus size women shouldn't wear crop tops, such crap. I can't get with that.
You know, I think when we're talking about breaking all these rules, it can be difficult, you know, when you live in a body that you know is discriminated against, and you know that the decision to walk out in a pair of hot pants as a fat woman might get you stares and snarks and, you know, verbal abuse. Like, it's difficult, and that's, you know, that's all a real possibility. But I wonder, you know, how do you make the decision to do it? Because it's not a case, I think, of just pressing a button and doing it. You know, you have to mentally prepare yourself for the what ifs, but also just kind of say, you know, well, no matter what happens, like, if I'm happy, that's the most important thing. It doesn't matter if I get harassed, you know, for my body, but that's hard. That's
no,
hard to do.
It's not easy. And I think part of that is like the mental work of it. And, you know, really thinking that, like, hey, this, I'm doing this because, one, this is going to express who I am. And I'm also doing this because I'm showing the world, like, it's part of it is making a point that I am going to express myself in the way that is most authentic to me. And so sometimes I'm pretty good. My confidence is really good now. I'm not perfect. No one is. But part of that is if I'm ever wearing something that's pushing the envelope and mm-hmm. something that I think might get some comments, I always have in my head at that point the don't try me. Like I'll be like, I know I look good. Don't try me. And so, and if I see someone looking at me and giving me the look, I'll just look at them with that in my eyes, keeping it firmly in my head. I look great. There might be a couple curse words. I look great. And don't try me. And I know. But they're definitely like, I have this tiny confrontation in my head. And by putting it in my eyes, I keep a lot of it away from actually happening. So yeah. I think that's kind of fun, just looking anyone who's looking at you with possible insults or comments, mm-hmm. just looking them straight in the eyes and being like,
I'm good.
B word, I know I look good. Try me. They're probably not going to actually say anything.
No. So. We've been talking a lot about fashion as self-expression, and I feel like fashion is so often dismissed as something shallow and trivial and unnecessary, when in reality, I think it's the most immediate way we have of showing people a glimpse of ourselves. You know, the reality is human beings are very visceral, aesthetic-focused creatures, and we see what each other is wearing, and we make, you know, thoughts based on that. And I think when we get dressed every morning, even people who might not necessarily care about style or shopping, we say something through our wardrobe choices. And the fact that we've had so little wardrobe choices in the plus world, it blows my mind that so many people have not been able to access that means of self-expression because of the way they look. But obviously things are changing, and, you know, we're still not at the point where we can walk into a mall and, you know, buy a size 20 bathing suit, but brands are expanding, things are happening. And I'm wondering if we have any advice for people who really fall in love with something, but it's not in plus. You know, how do you go about that? What if you see like a top on Etsy that just speaks to you and you're like, I need this for my self-expression. What do you do?
Well, I actually started a hashtag about this called Plus Size Please. And it was something, it was in response to seeing so many, I'm such a shopper, first of all. I love shopping. Even if I don't have money, I like to go into stores and see things and try things on.
My credit card's going to attest to it.
It's definitely my way to unwind. And living in New York, I'd be at stores all the time, and I just would see these really cool items. I'm like, I want this. It stops at a size 10, but I really want this. And I would pay whatever the price was for this dress. I would, Zara, let me buy this marble print dress right now. Like, H&M, let me buy this wild colored caftan. I want these things, you know? And so I had a moment where I was actually at an event at Saks, and there was this really cool TV perforated leather skirt. I posted it, and I was like, oh, I love the skirt. And one of my followers was like, hey, is this available in plus? And I was like, sadly, no, plus size, please. And I just wrote the hashtag. And then the more I thought about it, I was like, this could be something big. And so I decided to kind of like launch it as a movement and say, hey, like, If you're out shopping and you see something that stops below your size range, and just hashtag it and say, hey, to this brand, like directly at the brand, I would buy this right now if it came in my size. Hashtag plus size, please. And I got this huge response, and a lot of people really responded really well to this because it was kind of a way to empower people to express what they wanted, even if they couldn't buy it right then. Express, like, there's an interest in having these more fashion forward pieces in plus. This is not just one person who wants this. There's a whole community of people, mm-hmm. a community of people with money to spend, mm-hmm. who want these things. So it's been a big thing for me, and it's part of the reason my blog has grown, and I love seeing the responses to it. We've actually had there's been responses from people saying this is great and I love doing this. There's been responses from businesses as well.
From brands,
yeah. So we had, it's been everything from, there was a smaller, sustainable, eco-friendly label called Encircled, and they're a Canadian label, and somebody asked for their top in plus size, please. They have this, like, convertible top, and they end up expanding their size range, wow. adding more sizes, and I actually have this top now and I wear it all the time. It's such a good top. I think if we just continue to push that and say, hey, we want this, you know, it has a lot of power.
Yeah, I think also a lot of brands might still be operating under false assumptions that plus size women just won't buy certain things. You know, if they're not immersed in body positive activism, if they don't know that any of this stuff is going on, they're still going to be using those antiquated notions of fat girls don't want that. Why would I make it? You know, so hearing from people who say, well, yeah, you know, I'd give you my money if you made it, that has value.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that's one of those things where it needs the voices, and that's where social media can be a really big tool for change. If you're literally telling these brands, there's a market for this, I will buy this, let me buy this, and then if it actually happens, if you support that brand, or if you support the brands who are doing it, whatever it is for you, whether it's representing a variety of body shapes, like mm-hmm. Smart Glamour is a small brand that does that, and they have models of all shapes and sizes, yes. Whether it's providing really cool fashion forward unique stuff, like Ready to Stare or Liesl Binks was another indie designer who mm-hmm. I love, makes really cool things that aren't available elsewhere.
Yeah. And
Monif C.
Zelie Frischie.
I love their stuff. Wonderful. It's so cool.
And sorry.
No, it's fine.
Monif's stuff is really cool because she's developed this boning system, she calls it, which is a system of design that actually supports fat bodies. Like, you know, we were talking about retailers that kind of just size up straight-size garments without remembering the fact that, well, plus-size women have bellies, plus-size women will have bigger arms, plus-size women will have thicker thighs. And it's like a network of support in the clothes. So your stomach is supported. Like, you're not feeling like your whole body's all over the place. But it's not like shapewear or anything. You're not constricted. You're not shrinking.
Yeah.
You're just supported. You can move around however you so choose, which is really rad.
No, definitely. I think Monif C is a great example of a brand who they have these really fashion-forward things that, like swimsuits especially, they're somewhere.
Yes.
Is... really good.
It's phenomenal.
And
it's really high quality.
Yeah.
Prints are great, bright colors.
Yeah, and it's attention getting, and it is bold and it is unapologetic, and I love that. So like Monif C, Rue 107, of course Gabby's like swimsuits for all collections, and having these options that weren't previously there. I go to the beach now and I am not the only fat girl in a bikini, and that makes me really happy. So and there's been a lot of, and even if you're only seen online, there are so many women who are participating and being a part of that, and I think that is just
#fatkini.
Yeah,
and now that summer season's coming, like I do hope that more and more women are seeking out these suits, and you know, cute suits that will make them feel good. But I really want to see more. Like, that is one area I'm so dissatisfied in.
I'm not out to minimalize myself. I will wear something that shows my VBO sometimes. I will wear something that is a complete sack and shows that you can't see my curves at all. I have a waist. I don't need to accentuate my waist all the time. No. I don't owe anyone my waist is one of the things I said. Because I've had people say, oh, you shouldn't. You look so much better in that outfit you posted the other day. It's really funny the things that people feel at liberty to say to me. But you shouldn't wear this.
As soon as you become a semi-public person on the internet, people will say whatever the hell.
Yeah. and they say it sometimes. Sometimes they think they're saying it out of the kindness of their heart. Mm-hmm. Like they're doing me a favor. Like, oh, you don't look as good in this. Mm-hmm. You know, like it's okay.
You look so much better when you're conforming to an hourglass figure.
Exactly. When you should belt that. You should belt that. Oh, God. God, I'm only going to belt it if I want to, and I probably don't need to belt that. I love wearing shapeless things sometimes too. Like the Universal Standard has this like really cool asymmetrical sack dress, and it is just a sack, and you can't tell there's any sort of body in there, and I love it. It's great.
You know, the thing that really irks me about plus size fashion rules, you know, in quotes, is the sort of conflicting messaging, because on the one hand, we're not supposed to show off our bodies. You know, we are supposed to hide them in tunic tops and things that won't show off our rolls. But on the other hand, when we wear minimalist stuff that's more baggy and loose flowing, it's like, oh, you're so lazy. Like, you've completely given up on your body. You don't care about what you look like.
Yeah.
Like, what are we supposed to wear then? You know, literally nothing.
Yeah. I know. And it's one of those things where I think some people would be really happy if every fat person wore a black, like, fit and flare dress, a black A-line mm-hmm. dress for the rest of their life. That would be great. I have black A-line dresses that I like, but that is not, how boring would it be if we all only wore the most flattering thing, which would be a black A-line dress on pretty much everybody. God, what a boring world. Like, that's not what fashion's about. So I'm not going to, my daily wardrobe decisions, while they are time consuming, I spend a lot of time choosing what I'm going to wear. It's not about, is this flattering? It's about, is this me today? Is this what I want to portray to the world? Is this the person I want to be this morning? And fashion's so much more fun when you approach it that way. And it's much more empowering.
For sure. Every week we do a Body Pause Badass shout out, which is to an influencer or a voice in plus fashion and body pause activism, whatever it may be, who you think just deserves a little more cred than they might be getting, or who's just making an impact on you, who you find particularly inspirational.
Oh man, this is so hard because I know so many amazing people. There are so many really great bloggers who I think could get more shine. Margot Meany is a Canadian blogger who's really just, she has really cool alternative style. One of the things we were talking about earlier. My friend Shayna of A Thick Girl's Closet is really great, and she has, she's all about body positivity. She is doing this really cool series right now where she's doing bikini try-ons, bathing suit try-ons at a bunch of different stores to show people what things look like on different body types. If you're looking for your first fat bikini this summer, definitely check out her coverage of that. She has tons of that I've been looking at and being like, ooh, I need to go get this one. If you're looking for Margot, it's Margot, Margot Meany. And then Shay of A Thick Girl's Closet.
And where can people find you if they want to check out your blog, your social?
Okay. My blog is called Curvily. You can find me at Instagram at Curvily, CURVILY. My joke is it's not a real word, but it's a real fashion blog. and also curvilyfashion.com. All the social media, I'm at Curvily.
Thank you so much for joining me today and talking all things fashion and showing the kind of empowering, subversive side to clothes that I think people are very often dismissive of.
Yeah. It's great. No, it really can change. Like, it's frankly, having a better relationship with fashion has, and being able to express myself has changed my life.
If anyone listening, you know, if you guys end up experimenting with fashion, taking some bold selfies, wearing a fatkini, share it with me and Sarah anytime. Our email address here is thebodcast@bustle.com, and we'd love to hear from you. As always, you can find us on Acast.com, our awesome podcast network, which is also in the App Store. And check us out on iTunes and SoundCloud.